For most of us, a new year means a fresh start and a new beginning. We set goals, assess achievements, and look for new ways to improve our lives. And if we're being honest, one of the key areas in need of annual improvement is our finances. Whether it's beginning a budget, saving for retirement, or just keeping up with the monthly payments, managing our money is often the greatest contributor to the stress in our lives. But have you ever wondered if your financial goals align with God's priorities? And what if a lack of alignment in this area is exactly what causes so much stress and worry? This year can be different. It's time to refocus our priorities and make a real change. A change for good.
Well, CCV, anybody ready for a change for good? 2016's coming. And that's why I'm so glad today that I get to talk about this topic of tithing. Because I don't know of any other spiritual discipline that causes more change for good for the individual, for the family, or for the community where you live. And look, I know this can be uncomfortable for some people when you talk about it. So let me just be crystal clear here. When we're talking about a tithe, what we mean is giving the first 10% of everything you earn back to God so that he can bless the other 90% that's still for you to use. Make sense? This concept goes back to the very first book in the Bible. It's a long and venerable history of a lot of people who have really been blessed by God by trusting him more. So here's the deal. In the next 29 minutes, I want to challenge every single one of you to tithe. Well, that's not exactly true. If you're a visitor with us, you get a pass. I'm not talking to you. If you don't consider yourself a Christ follower, you can just sit back and enjoy the show while everyone else squirms. But for those of you who call CCV home, and for those of you who call yourselves Christ followers, would you seriously consider right now taking up the challenge to tithe and test God to see if he'll come through on his promises? So in order to do that, I want to lean into a very old book, the book of Malachi, and if you're Italian, Malachi. It's the last book of the Old Testament. And after Malachi puts down his pen, there will be a 400-year silence of Scripture until Jesus is born in Matthew chapter 1. Now you got to know, if God's going dark for 400 years, whatever he says before that season has got to be super important. And it is. This conversation revolves around 27 questions, some that God asks his people and some that his people ask him. And I want to cherry pick three of those questions for you today, because how you answer these questions will determine whether you have the courage to take God up on his challenge to trust him with a tithe. Here's question number one. Has God blessed you? Now, there's a blank, and normally at CCV, we give you a blank, and we give you the word to write in the blank. I don't want to do that, because it doesn't matter if you put my answers in this blank. It has to be your answer in order for you to give your tithe to God. So let me ask you again, would you say that God has blessed you? Before you answer, can I just read a couple verses? Chapter 1 of Malachi, verse 2. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you ask, how have you loved us? God answers, was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord, yet I have loved Jacob. A bit of the backstory. Jacob and Esau were famous brothers in the Bible and bitter sibling rivals. And they both had a bunch of kids. In fact, both of them became a nation. Esau's kids became a nation and Jacob's kids became a nation. Today we call them the Jews. And this Jewish nation was being hounded by the descendants of Esau. The sibling rivalry never got better. It just got bitter. And now they're living in troublesome times when the Babylonians had invaded Israel and made them slaves in their own country. It was a difficult time. Maybe you could relate to this. In that day, all the political leaders did not honor God. It was a time when marriages were in turmoil. Children were being abused. Social justice had ebbed to an all-time low. And the people are looking around going, God, you this is what you call love. And they're looking through their windshield at an uncertain future and saying, God, I'm not sure if I can trust that you love us. And Malachi does something brilliant. And I want to do it with you today. He says, stop looking through the windshield and start looking at the rearview mirror. And you will see a history of God's unfailing faithfulness. Is that true for you? How many of you have missed a meal because you couldn't afford to buy food? How often have you been cold because you couldn't afford the cost of a coat? How often have you walked to church because you didn't own a car to drive here? Isn't God good? How many of you right now, you have a Bible in your hand that is the wisdom of God's word in the palm of your hand? Well, I don't use a Bible. I got an iPhone. I use it on it. Oh, so you have a $600 Bible. Good. I think most of us would say, yeah, God has blessed us. But here's a follow-up question. Why has God blessed you? Is it because he loves you? Actually, probably not. Here's a simple principle. It runs through Scripture. Every time God blesses someone he loves, he blesses someone he loves so that they can bless others, so that others can love God. Does that make sense? If God has blessed you, he's blessed you so that you can bless someone else, so that they would have a chance of knowing and loving the one true God. Twice in this first chapter, God says that in so many words. Verse 5, verse 11 as well, but I'm going to read verse 5. You will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. So could I be so bold as to ask, if your neighbor came over to your house and got a hold of your budget, would they love your God because he's so great in your eyes? Or would they say, their God must not be very good because he's not worth very much? I think it's a fair question. And I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, but I've got to ask, how have you blessed God? Is your giving to such an extent that other people would wonder at the wonder of God? It certainly wasn't for Malachi's day. In fact, here's the cutting critique he gives of his own people. Verse 6. A son honors his father, and a slave his master. If I am a father, where's the honor due me? If I'm a master, where's the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you priests who show contempt for my name. And I promise you, every priest is going, what, me? How have I shown contempt for your name? That's what they ask. By offering defiled food on my altar. See, they were supposed to offer the first and finest of crops and livestock. And the people were supposed to bring the same, but they didn't. You ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? They were offering blind goats to God. So let me ask you, you ever brought a blind goat to church? Well, I brought my mother-in-law once. Does that count? No, that's different. Okay. Malachi says, you try offering that to the governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? So let me modernize Malachi's question. If you gave the same percentage in taxes that you give in tithes, would you go to prison? If you went to work with the same frequency or intensity that you worship, would you still have a job? If you supported your spouse or your kids with the same generosity that you support the church, would your relationships be successful in life? Now, again, I'm not trying to make you feel uncomfortable. I just think we need to ask seriously, is God first in our lives in the most tangible area of finances? I think it's strange that so many Christians will say, oh yeah, I trust God for the most important thing, my eternal security, but we won't trust him with our financial security. How does that even work? Maybe you think that, yeah, God's been faithful to me in my past, but if I have less money in my future, then God will be somehow not be able to pull it off. Look, do you think that if you are more faithful to God with your financial future, that he will be less faithful to you than he has been in your past? That doesn't even make sense. And so I suspect that the reason many Christians struggle with giving a tithe is because, not the first question, but the second question: has God ignored you? And maybe you won't admit this out loud, but I think all of us from time to time feel like God is somewhat distanced. We pray and we don't hear anything back. Or we go to church and other people are like, they're getting into it and they feel it, and we don't feel it. And so the Jews in Malachi's day, they really did feel like God was distant. And they're asking, why is God distant? Fair question. Do you think if God is distant from you, if he seems silent to you, do you think he's distant because he moved or because you moved? Malachi addresses this head on in chapter 2, verse 13. Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and wail because he no longer looks with favor on the offerings or accepts them with pleasure from your hands. And you ask, why? Is it because the Lord is witness between you and the wife of your youth? You've been unfaithful to her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Now, wait a second. Are we talking about wives or tithes? Yes and yes. The two really do go together. Here's why. When you give a tithe to God, you establish your household. Whether you're married or single, divorced, remarried, if you tithe, you are establishing your household on the foundation of trust in God by giving him the first fruits of your labor and trusting that he will bless the 90% that is still in your possession. When we do that with our wives, with our husbands, we're saying to them, God is first in this relationship. And in that time, the Jews, because they were an oppressed nation, they were looking at all these other women and going, well, she's richer and she's younger and she's better looking and her family has more clout. And they were establishing the relationship on something other than trust in God. And maybe you've never been divorced, but you've also never made God the foundation of your marriage. Your marriage is about a convenience for you, an enjoyment for you. And God wants it to be something more. Look down at verse 15, because this doesn't just affect you. It affects your children. Here's a snippet from that verse. And what does the one God seek? Godly offspring. Now look, I know how you love your kids. You put them in sports programs and you care for their physical needs. You make sure you have health insurance. You love your kids. You adore your grandkids, I promise you. God is more concerned about your family's success than you are. Do you believe that to be true? And that's why God asks you to tithe, because tithe is the widest window for your children to see the priorities of your life. Look, it is critical that you bring your kids to church. That sets a great habit and pattern for them. It is so important for them to see you read your Bible and pray in your home. That is critical for your children's faith development. But there is no other discipline more tangible than the tithe for your child to see. And it will probably be when they're preteens or early teens that look at your budget and go, Mom, Dad, why do you give so much to the church? And it's that opportunity that you can say, because God has always been our first priority. You know, I learned to tithe not because of the Bible, but because of my father. And even though my parents got divorced, this was a lesson that I took with me into adulthood. The very first allowance I got is probably like a dime. And my dad said, you know, the first penny goes to God. And then when I got my first paycheck from McDonald's, I took it home and I showed my dad. I was so proud. He goes, you know, 10% of that goes to God. So when I got married, my wife and I sat down and we looked at each other and said, you know, 10% of everything that we earn will first go to God. And because of that, you may not be able to believe this, but in 32 years of marriage, my wife and I have never had a single argument over finances. Why? Because once you tithe, all your financial problems are God's problems, not your problems, and you don't need to fight about it. And my children, both of them, give their first 10% to God, and so do their spouses. And now the infants in their home, as they grow up, they will learn that God is the priority of their home. And it's not just an issue for your marriage and your kids, it's also your community. Malachi criticizes his people because he says they had insulted God. And they ask, how had they insulted God? Here's his answer, verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he's pleased with them. Or you say, where is the God of justice? Man, I'm telling you, as a pastor, that is the number one question I get from Christians as well as pre-Christians. They want to know, why is there so much evil in the world? And the subtle implication is, if God's really good, how come people are really bad? And we blame God for what's going on in Phoenix. We blame him for the drug addiction and human trafficking, and we blame him for divorces and natural disasters. And I'm just going, why do you think it's God's fault? Look, God has done everything he can to bring about social justice. Don't believe it? Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Look at chapter 4, verse 2. Twice in this very short book is a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. When God says, I'm going to send my own son to die for the sins of the world. I will give my first and my best to you so that we can do away with sin and deal with the habits in your life that are self-destructive. God has done everything for us. So you say, well, if it's not God's fault, it must be those wicked people's fault because wicked people are doing wicked stuff. Of course they are. Ducks swim. What do you expect out of wicked people? No, I'll tell you where the problem is. It's with the people of God who claim to say God is our first priority and we don't live like it. And the watching world does not know how great our God is because we haven't expressed it in a tangible and visible way. The goal of CCV is to reach this valley for Jesus Christ. You know what we're all about. We are to win people to Jesus Christ, to train believers to become disciples, and to send disciples to impact the world, and specifically our valley. And there's so much work to be done. There are 5 million souls in this valley heading to a Christless eternity, not because God hasn't done what he needs to do, but because often we haven't taken seriously the gift that God has given us. And listen, we need your tithe to reach this valley. Now, don't hear me say we need your money, because God has never needed you to fund his agenda. I tell you what God needs from you is you. He needs you to give your heart to him, and the quickest on-ramp to your heart is your money. Jesus said it, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So here's the deal. When you tithe, you don't pay for a pastor. You become a pastor, because what you invest in, you are vested in. And as you begin to give generously to God, you take interest in the things of God. Look, we can't afford to pay for all the pastors we need to reach this valley for Christ, but we don't need to because you're already there. You can be a voice for God where you work and a voice for God where you live and a voice for God where you play. And if you would get more bought in because you're more invested, then we would have pastors all over this valley bragging about God and giving lost people a chance to see the goodness of God firsthand. And my suspicion is that that will never happen until you can answer this third question. Has God rejected you? Well, God rejected me? I don't think he has. But no, wait a minute. often Christians feel like they're not worthy of God because of some sinful past. And if you can't get past your past, you won't have a really bright chance of a change for good in your future. Listen to what God says about you. I, the Lord, do not change. So the descendants of Jacob are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? I mean, that's the question, isn't it? How can you return to God? Here's the answer. And I want to give this answer in the form of a story told by Jay and his wife, Crystal. They came to the exact same spot as you are right now, considering how do we return to God in a way that reflects what he has blessed us with. Would you watch their story before you fill in your own blank for this question?
Well, I think how we viewed money when we first got married, we wanted to do the right thing and not overspend and use our money wisely. You know, as we got further in our marriage, you know, things, you know, you want to buy more things, you want to do more things, you start having kids, and then you try to do things that you know you can't afford, but you want to pay off later, but you end up not doing that, and it just kind of turns into a vicious cycle. For me, being able to have things and have a nice house and live in a safe neighborhood and or buy the latest whatever was something that made me feel good, because I've always had a job and I've always worked hard, but I've never managed the money that I've had. And we got to the point where it wasn't something that we should probably do. It was we had to do it. We had to make a change. I think God started to do some work on me as a leader in our household, having to do with faith and trusting him. And you know, it's been a process to get me to where I realized that in a lot of regards, I was a phony with my faith. And I would say certain things, but when it came to tithing, I didn't want to have anything to do with it. It scared me. And I really didn't trust God with money. Well, the rock solid class, I didn't want to go. I wanted to run away from that thing. But once we got there and heard the stories just kind of how the class unfolded, we realized that we weren't being faithful and we weren't trusting him. And it was affecting everything in our lives. It really was. So we just said, all right, we'll give it to you. We'll sign the paper and we'll hold ourselves to that. And we're just gonna do it. And our next paycheck, we're gonna start and that's it. For me, it wasn't about the money. It pointed me back to what God's done for me in my whole life. I can name numerous things that I can look back and I can just see him saying, see, look what I've done for you. Look at how much I've taken care of you. And you can't trust me with the money, that 10%. You can't trust me with that at all.
The way that I've seen Jay change through this is, I think for a while, it was just constant worry about where the money's gonna come from and almost depression at times. To getting up in the morning early, making sure he's always having that quiet time with God, and making sure he puts us first, always, you know, I mean, God first, but then he's just always makes us feel how, you know, how important we are to him, and that no matter what, it's gonna be okay.
I think it's an overall change because God wants our heart. Because God doesn't really need our money. He's got all the money in the world. It's about obedience and trusting him. Really, not just saying, yeah, I trust him and I go to church and God loves you and all that. It's really trusting him with everything that we have. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where certain monies are going to come from. But I guess that's his problem now and I'll just have to sit and enjoy the ride.
I love their story. You know what I love most about it? Is watching Crystal look at her husband. She is so proud of her man because her man is so proud of his God. And that's a foundation of a family that I hope for all of you. And maybe you caught that as just a quick brush-by sentence where Jay said it was the rock-solid finance class that was a real turning point for him. And if you would like access to the same information and inspiration that Jay got at that class, here's the good news. We offer that class for free at CCV. And on all of our campuses, a week from Wednesday, that's January the 20th, is going to be a free class that all of you can sign up for. In fact, I'm so serious about this. I would love for you to sign up right now. You just go to your app on your phone and sign up. I don't even care if you do it while I'm preaching. It's probably the most important thing that you could do today to get started on a change for good. You know, I know a lot of people say, well, you know, this is Old Testament stuff, and tithing really isn't commanded in the New Testament, and that makes no sense to me. The tithe isn't a command, it's a promise that if you trust God, he will bless the 90%. And I know that we're in Malachi, we're not in the New Testament, but I don't know how much more New Testament that you can get by sandwiching a call to tithe between two promises of sending God's own son for you. So I want to dig right into this last question here. How can you return to God? By reading verse 8 through 10. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. And you ask, how are we robbing you? Like, how would you rob God if you wanted to? Put a gun in his face? He didn't care. I mean, what, are you going to go to his house? You don't even know where he lives, let alone what security system he has. And God says, you're robbing me in tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven, I love that, so that you will not have room enough to store it. Do you believe that God is that good to his people? Do you believe that you can trust God with the tithe? If you still have your Bible open, I'd love for you to circle two little words in verse 10, bring and test, bring. Notice that Malachi doesn't say to give your tithes to God, because technically, you cannot give what you do not own. We're not giving God a tithe. We're bringing him what he already owns and trusting him to bless the other 90%. And where do we bring it? Malachi says the storehouse. In the Old Testament, that was clearly the temple of God. In the New Testament, what is it? Well, the closest I know is the church. There's some other great organizations you can give to, and if you do, that's wonderful. I applaud you, but those are gifts, not tithes. The tithes go to the local church. Why? Because when you give to the local church, unlike anywhere else, only God gets the glory. And when only God gets the glory, some really good things can happen in your life. The second word is test, and that just sent shivers through me when I read that. Test God. The reason is every other time in the Bible when someone tested God, God said, don't test me. You probably heard your mother say that. This is the single exception in all of Scripture where God says, come on, test me. You want to know if I'm good? Do you have the courage to test me in a tithe? Test me in a tithe and see if I will fulfill my promises to you. Why is tithing so important? I'm going to give you four simple answers from the book of Malachi of why this is so important. Number one, it establishes your marriage on a foundation of faith. I know a lot of you have an extra bedroom, and that's good. It's worth to you a tithe to have an extra bedroom. Is it also then worth to you to tithe so that your entire household is based on faith, not just an extra bedroom in your home? I know your kids' education is important to you. That's why you're going to tithe your lifetime income so your kids can go to college. Nothing wrong with that. But my question is it not more important to you to teach your children the foundations of the faith? The second benefit of tithing is that your kids have the widest window to see what is most important to you. Third benefit of tithe is social justice. I know we all love to go out on the town and eat out, but is it not more important not just to go out and eat, but to go out and serve, to seek, and to save the lost? Fourth benefit of tithing, God just said it. I'm gonna open up the floodgates of heaven. And maybe you have the faith to believe that, maybe you don't. So let me just give you some statistics. Here is the hard facts about tithers in America. Those who tithe, 80% have zero credit card debt. Can you say that? 48% of all those who tithe in America own their homes straight out. There's no house payment. 78% own their cars, no car payment. Can you say that? And maybe you're saying, well, that's because the rich people tithe. No, I promise you that is not the case. It's not that tithers are rich, nor that they get rich, but they are blessed by God. And I want that blessing for every one of you, so that your marriages, children, social justice, and even your own finances can be on the firm footing of faith. So here's my challenge. I want to challenge every one of you to test God by tithing until Easter. It's less than 3 months away, so this is under a 90-day challenge. Would you, for 90 days, take up this challenge to test God with a tithe and see if he won't bless the 90% you have left? And if you do, I can promise you, when we all come back here for Easter and we celebrate the risen Christ, the Son of God who died for our sins and rose for our salvation, you will see on Easter this year, if you test God with a tithe, that he doesn't just raise Jesus from the dead, but he can give new life to your finances because of your faith in him. Let's pray. Holy Father, we are so grateful for the sacrifice you made in Christ. I'm so grateful for the trust that you put into us, that we would believe you enough to test you with a tithe. And God, I'm just asking, because I've given the best words I know how on the biblical truth of tithe, but I'm asking you now to send your Holy Spirit to give wings to these words and fan into flame the faith of the good people of CCV so that they could see heavens open and your blessings come into their life because we dare to believe that you are the God you claim to be. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.